Whatever you might be doing, I encourage you to come on in and join us because we are going to begin our worship service.
Sound quite right.
Leave it to the leader to screw up the start. That's the. One, two, three, four.
Pick a key.
Hey, you know what?
They're all good.
I was on three. No, yeah, you're right. You're right. Everybody is right. It's my fault, y'all, just so you know. This is all me. It's the drummer's fault. All right, let's try this one last time. One, two, three, four.
Thank you. stand for our call to worship from Psalm 95, verses 1 to 6.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his,
for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Christians join to sing, Hallelujah, Amen. Praise to Christ our King. Something beautiful in our lives this week. Amen.
1, 2, 3.
Grande es tu gloria, en esa alabanza, Señor, tu nombre, date honra, gloria.
keepers of the earth.
Colosenses 2, del versículo 8 al 14, dice: Mirad que nadie os haga cautivos por medio de su filosofía y vanas sutilezas según la tradición de los hombres, conforme a los principios elementales del mundo y no según Cristo. Porque toda la plenitud de la Deidad reside corporalmente en Él, y habéis sido hechos completos en Él, que es la cabeza sobre todo poder y autoridad. En Él también fuisteis circuncidados con una circuncisión no hecha por manos, al quitar el cuerpo de la carne mediante la circuncisión de Cristo, habiendo sido sepultados con Él en el bautismo, en el cual también habéis resucitado con Él por la fe en la acción del poder de Dios, que le resucitó de entre los muertos. Y cuando estabais muertos en vuestros delitos y en la circuncisión de vuestra carne, os dio vida juntamente con Él, habiéndonos perdonados todos los delitos, habiendo cancelado el documento de deuda que consistía en decretos contra nosotros y que nos era adverso, y lo ha quitado de un medio clavándolo en la cruz.
Cast my lot. I'll discard the loss and bear your name, forsaking all for your own fame. For him a grace hung over me, abounding forth in glorious streams. My thirst is quenched by you, my Lord. Sustained am I, redeemed, restored. Sustained am I, redeemed, restored. Thank you. crucified, the great I am. Christ crucified, the great I am. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You may be seated.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
See, you keep this in my
bed. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Not gonna go on.
Come, Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive the welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because I promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I
I'm an audio problem.
Father, I appreciate your invitation. Not waiting to rid our souls of a dark blood.
Are they the ones that kind of let all our information out there somewhere?
Thankful to be in this house, this home that you provided for us.
Oh, man, they're changing. That's so crazy.
That you would be with Pastor Tom. As he enriches our souls and our lives with more of your word this morning. And we also pray for a special blessing on the children as they go to Hope for
Kids. I think we're having problems.
Our teachers, Father, for the time and love that they've poured into this lesson for our most important people. Be with them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see everybody just starts with buenos dias. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo estás?
Really got a lot of
good.
Spanish. They got a lot of Spanish people. Cubans.
My name is Jordan Killer. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church, and I'm just going to talk to you
about
what's going on this week, because The life of the church does not just exist on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. And so it's always good to know what's going on so you can be involved in those things as well. First and foremost is if you are visiting with us or if you have a prayer request, there's these little fancy schmancy pieces of paper in the bulletin. And you can just fill out a prayer request for the prayer request. Or if you're visiting, just tell us that you were here and we would appreciate knowing that you were here. Also, we have a congregational meeting today after the service, so if you are able, we would appreciate it if you would stick around. The nursery play group is, usually there's slides sliding up on there. It's all right. Take your time. It's not a big deal. Nursery play group is coming up, I think it's this week, right? Anyone know for sure? Today. Wait, today?
Next week.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's coming up next week. You can see Jen Townsend for information on that if you have or are interested in that. May 11th is, wait. Isn't the 5th on a Sunday? May 11th. Oh, a Spanish. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I know what that's about. Okay, sorry. On May 5th, we are having what, everybody knows what May 5th is, right? It's Cinco de Mayo, right? So we're having a Cinco de Mayo party. We are going to have a competition for wok and salsa, right? Is that correct?
Correct, because the queso is it's not a competition. I win. That's how that works.
So maybe we're doing queso and wok. I can't remember which one it is.
Salsa, queso, and wok.
Yeah, so there's a competition for dips.
There's a red hat, a green hat, and a yellow hat.
Ah, there you go. See? All right, so there's a competition for dips. The setup is going to occur the week before. So on Sunday, the 28th, if you can stick around after the service and help get everything set up for in the family room for that, that would be greatly appreciated. And then the very next week, we are having a service on, it says Sunday, May 11th. Isn't that the Saturday
night? It should say Saturday,
okay.
May 11th.
Saturday, May 11th at 7 p.m. Tom will
say. No, wait. I think that one's Sunday. Miguel.
Hang on. 1 second.
Hablemos de un servicio en español. ¿Es domingo el 11? ¿O 12? ¿O sábado? Sábado, yeah. Saturday.
Saturday the 11th, okay.
What he said.
So Saturday the 11th, we are having our first all-Spanish worship service. If you don't speak Spanish, that doesn't mean you can't come. In fact, I would encourage you to come and support that service going on, and maybe you might learn a little bit of Spanish in the process if you are available that evening. But that is Saturday evening, May 11th, here in this very room. And I think that's it.
Okay.
All right. You're up.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, right after the
drums. So, the Saturday Spanish service, two things to know about that. One, we're going to see how many Spanish speakers we can get here. That's objective number one. And then number two, we're going to send out some sign-ups if you would like to volunteer to support that service in some way, either with Hope for Kids or nursery, or you could be on the worship team and play an instrument. And, you know, we'll take any help we can get because it's sort of an extra service that we're going to do as we are beginning to try to figure out the best time of the week to assemble Spanish speakers in this place. We're going to do one service in May on a Saturday. We're going to do a service in June on either a Friday night or a Sunday night, and then a service in July on either Friday night or Sunday night, depending on which one we did in June. We'll figure all this out as we go, and we'll let you know. And we're just trying to facilitate Pastor Miguel and Pastor Alfredo in the development of a Spanish-speaking congregation. And so this is just experiments, numbers 1, 2, and 3. But encourage you to sign up when you get those messages and come and support that effort. What else? We went to Lockhart. That's Jack. So there's Jack and Joe and Cleveland and Dennis, maybe? I'm not sure. So I had to do that just so you knew I was there. Yeah, I didn't really do anything, but I just had to, you know, sneak into the picture for that one. But this is true diversity right here. We've got Joe, who's from Detroit, and then Jack, who's a Polack from Wisconsin, and then two locals and some redneck from Houston. So, yeah. Thank y'all both for stepping up and coming out, and that was a lot of fun. The ladies of the church cooked lunch for us. That was good. We're going to do that again. We're just trying to finish putting the siding on the outside of First Baptist Lockhart. So that's been our effort, and we've been doing that in partnership with some of their members. Just good fellowship and good food, and yeah. So there you go. Take that off of there. All right. Thank you. If I could have only the important people come down to the front at this time. If you are in fifth grade or younger, you are invited down for our children's chat before you go to Hope for Kids. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm a lazy rain wing.
You what?
A rain wing from Wings of Fire. A lazy one.
Rain wing? Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. You all right way down there? You're good? All right. You hiding from me? All right. So let's see. What if I told you that yesterday I saw a purple elephant with yellow polka dots on it? Yeah.
That's a lie.
What?
That's a lie.
I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I would never lie.
No, those don't exist. I think our topic today is lying.
Our topic is not lying. I'm not going to teach you how to lie. You don't need any help.
You already taught us how to lie once.
I taught you how to lie once?
No, you taught us not.
Not to lie. Yeah, not to lie. No, I did not really see a purple elephant with yellow polka dots.
That was a lie.
No, it wasn't a lie. I'm just trying to make a point. Can y'all help me out here? No, no mercy? Okay, we're going to talk about grace today then. So, it's a beautiful middle name. I love it. Okay. So here's the question, or here's what I want to tell you or read you from the Bible. So you know who Jesus is, right?
Yes.
What happened to Jesus?
He died.
He died. How did he die?
On a cross.
And then his body was laid in a his yes, he came back from the dead. His body was laid in a tomb, and then he rose from the dead, and he appeared to his followers, his disciples. But one of his followers, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came back. And so when the other disciples told Thomas they had seen a purple elephant with yellow polka dots, what do you think he said?
No, that's not true.
That's not possible, right? So they said, Thomas, here. The other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But what did Thomas know? That Jesus had died on a cross, that he'd been laid in a tomb, that he was dead, right? And so when they told him that Jesus was alive, what did he think?
That's not true.
That's not true. It's not possible, right? And so he said, Thomas said, unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. What do you think happened next?
He did exactly what he said he would do.
So 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. So what do you think changed in Thomas that day? He believed. He didn't really have to believe because he saw it, right? So if I told you there was a purple elephant with yellow polka dots, you wouldn't believe me. But if you saw a purple elephant with yellow polka dots, you might agree that I saw one, right? But you're not going to see that. I get it. But Thomas saw a man that he knew had died who was alive again, and he believed. He believed because what is the only thing that has the power to bring someone back from the dead? God. God is the only being that has that power. And so God overcame the grave. His love was stronger than death. And Thomas then saw that God's love was the most powerful thing in the world, and he believed. Sound good? So what does God want you to do?
Believe,
right, that he is your creator, that he has the power to give you life that lasts for how long?
Forever.
And he did that through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Look out. Should we pray? I should be done now? Okay. Dear God, thank you for these precious children and the gift that they are to our church and to our lives and families. We pray your blessing over them as they study more of your word and hope for kids. Fill them with a deeper understanding of how much you love them. Your blessing over them and their teachers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great time in Hope for Kids. Look out, Brian. They're coming. Why don't y'all run in here? To be fair, they were running away from me. That's true. Okay. Got it. Never mind. They're running to Kathy. That's the secret. All right. I need some kind of Cuban to come forward and read scripture with me. I'll take any native Spanish speaker, but just come on up here. Who's coming? All right, any. Thank you. Yo lo tengo aquí. Escrito. En la idioma del cielo.
Muy bien.
Any, ¿cómo andas? ¿Y cómo está Alan David?
Mucho mejor está, no sé, parece que después de la operación está mucho más activo, mucho más.
Okay. Hey, Darden, can you bring me the handheld? Thank you. All right. Okay, we're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 24 through 31 in English, and he's going to read them in Spanish. We are in the midst of a sermon series called Control-Alt-Delete. If you remember back in the day when you had to dial in for your internet and you heard that crazy sound and then your computer would get overloaded and you'd have to Control-Alt-Delete to reset it, that's the concept. And we looked first on Easter Sunday at the reset that the cross has created for all of us. And then we looked last week at the story of Peter and his three denials and Christ's three questions to him, do you love me? And we saw how Peter was reset in his personal relationship with Christ and in his ministry calling. This week we're going to look at Thomas, another one of the disciples, and his reset as it occurs in the Gospel of John. And we'll just pick it up there in John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Uh-huh.
Juan 20, del 24 al 31. Tomás, uno de los doce, llamado Dídimo, no estaba con ellos cuando Jesús vino. Entonces los otros discípulos le decían, Hemos visto al Señor. Pero él les dijo, Si no veo en sus manos la señal de los clavos, y meto el dedo en lugar de los clavos, y pongo la mano en su costado, no creeré. 8 días después, sus discípulos estaban otra vez dentro, y Tomás con ellos. Y estando las puertas cerradas, Jesús vino y se puso en medio de ellos, y dijo, Paz a vosotros. Luego dijo Tomás, acerca aquí tu dedo y mira mis manos. Extiende aquí tu mano y métela en mi costado. Y no seas incrédulo, sino creyente. Respondió Tomás y le dijo, Señor mío y Dios mío. Jesús le dijo, ¿Por qué me has visto? Has creído. Dichosos los que no vieron y sin embargo creyeron. Y muchas otras señales hizo también Jesús. Que no están escritas en este libro. Pero sean escritos para que creáis que Jesús es el Cristo, el Hijo de Dios, y para que al creer tengáis vida en su nombre.
Gracias.
Gracias a ti.
Llévatelo.
Okay,
gracias. Will you join me in prayer? God, our loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, and as we spend more time in your word here this morning. We pray that you would fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Help us not only to understand your word, but to put it into practice in our everyday lives, to relate to the people around us through the grace that we have found in Christ. And Lord, to that end, we lay at the foot of your cross the burdens of our hearts that we might be more free to encounter you here through your word today. We confess to you that we are broken and sinful, and we lay our sins at your feet. We thank you for the forgiveness and grace that are ours in Christ. We lift to you those relationships in our lives that are strained, and we pray for your peace and reconciliation where it is needed. We lift to you those who we know and love who are sick or recovering from medical procedures, and we pray your healing mercies over them. We lift to you those who grieve, and we pray you would comfort their hearts. We pray especially for Kim Mitchell this morning and the loss of her dad this weekend. We just pray you'd be close to her heart and minister your peace and your love and your comfort to her. We lift to you our country at every level of government, our leaders elected and appointed. We pray for wisdom and discernment in the decisions that are before them. We lift to you our men and women in uniform and our first responders who serve to protect and defend the freedoms we hold so dear as Americans. Lord, we lift up those who are in harm's way, and we pray for your protection over them. We ask that you would bring them home safely. We lift to you all of the conflict in the world today, and we pray for your peace where it is needed. We lift to you those who've returned home from their service changed as a result of the sacrifices they've made. We pray your healing over them, mind, body, and soul. Use us, your people, to minister that healing to them and to others. We pray for your church here at Hope and around the world, that your light would shine, that your word would go forth through the mouths of your people, and that it would not return to you empty. We pray your blessing over this time you've given us here together today. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. All right. So, I don't know about you, but I love the story of Thomas. Just how vehemently he says, I will never believe. And then he believes. And it's such a powerful transformation and such a good example of the type of reset that we're looking at in this series. And so there he is. You know, we don't know where he went Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but he wasn't with the other 10 at that point, disciples. And he comes back and they say, we saw Jesus. He's like, yeah, no, I don't think you did. That's crazy, right? Because that's not in the realm of possibility. You don't see people who've passed away. You don't get to do that. That's not how it works. And I also love the fact, and I'll mention this again probably in a little while, but that the Bible says 8 days later, Jesus came into the room where the disciples, he left Thomas in that state for a week, right? That state of anger and denial. And, you know, Thomas is a great illustration of someone who is experiencing grief. And I don't know if you've been through this terrible journey or not, but grief is a multi-headed beast, and it pops up. I was trying to explain this to a middle school girl that had lost her mom, and I was like, you remember at Chuck E. Cheese that game called Whack-A-Mole? She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's kind of how grief works. You've got denial, you've got anger, you've got blame, you've got sadness, you've got all these different components of grief, but they don't all come up at the same time. And then one will pop up and you'll think you've dealt with it, or it'll disappear before you can deal with it. And then another aspect will pop up, and they're very unpredictable. And you see Thomas manifesting several of these elements of grief. He's in grief. He lost his friend, he lost his savior, he lost his hope. What died with Christ on that Friday was everything that was important in Thomas's heart. And so he is expressing all of these components of grief. And he's angry. And you see it in his words, right? You don't need the tone to pick up on his anger. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is the anger component of his grief popping up and taking over. And he is doing, actually, Thomas gets an A+ here for expressing his grief. We can all take a good dose of this. Step one in this relationship we have with God, with this, the realities of being human, we need to be honest with God. At the very least, Thomas was honest, right? He didn't believe. He said he didn't believe, and he said he wasn't going to believe. And we see in Thomas the truth that grief is a cloud. It covers over, it obscures our better selves, those aspects of us that might use better judgment, better words, better expressions. Grief clouds that over. It clouds over our judgment, our compassion. You know, Thomas does not do a great job of caring for the other people in the room who have also gone through what he's gone through, although he is different than they because they saw Jesus and he did not. And so here he is in this state of isolation that is also part of grief, And he's angry, he's confused, and his better self is obscured in the cloud of grief. Grief can bring out very unhealthy reactions, right? You've probably seen this. It's not always pleasant to be with people who are grieving. Sometimes they act badly. Sometimes they're hurtful. Sometimes they're mean. Sometimes they're just confused and hurting. And yet we're called to be present in that cloud that we call grief. It's important in being honest with God to remember that it's normal to be human. Thomas displays a very, very human quality in this outburst that he has. And so A plus to Thomas for expressing what he's feeling. We need to do this in our own lives. Express what you're feeling. I tell people frequently, Americans are terrible at grieving. No culture, no one in any culture likes to grieve. That's not what I'm saying. But what do? We stuff it and go, right? It is not culturally appropriate to just break down and lose it in front of other people. I went to a funeral service for a friend of mine in seminary. He and his wife had just given birth, and the baby passed very quickly after birth. They were from Uganda. And Kathy and I are standing there with probably eight to ten other formally dressed Americans. You know, I've got a tie and a jacket, and we're standing at a graveside, and the Ugandan mother, who's only been in the United States at this point for less than a year, kneels down next to the grave and begins to weep and scream and pound the ground, and she makes mud with her tears as she's screaming. And there's about 10 really uncomfortable Americans, again, formally dressed, very rigidly there, in shock, right? We don't know what to do. We're just like, whoa. And I turned to my wife and I said, that's how you do it. Like, that's really healthy. We would never give ourselves permission in our culture to grieve like that. But what that woman was doing was expressing the very depth of her pain. And that's healthy. And Thomas gets an A+ for at least expressing what he's feeling, right? He gets an F for what he does in relation to the people around him. So when we grieve, we should be able to express what we feel without pushing away the people around us. So Thomas feels the sense of difference between himself, who has not seen the risen Christ, and those who claim to have seen the risen Christ, and he accentuates that difference. He pushes them farther away in his anger, in his grief, in his pain. And there, he gets an F on my emotional grade card, right? We need to learn to be human, to give ourselves permission to be human, to express what we are feeling, but without pushing other people away. And so this is sort of our first window into a grieving Thomas and his obstinance, his insistence, his firm position that he will not believe. He's got his fist clenched when he says this. But as much as we need to be honest with God, we also need to stop and take in and understand the full implications of the resurrection. I love the fact and hate the fact that Jesus leaves Thomas in this state for a week. That's not cool, man. Like, he was resurrected. He was alive. He was able to come and say to Thomas what he will say. But he waits a week. It was 8 days later before Jesus literally pops in again. And the disciples, if you don't know this already, are very, very concerned about themselves, their own safety, right? Their leader has been executed. That crime, which he was accused of by the religious authorities, they were all guilty of. They had all followed his teaching. And so they're kind of locked away in this room in Jerusalem, hiding in fear, wondering what their next move should be. Even a week after 10 of them saw the risen Christ, they're still not sure what to do. They're still hiding. They're still being driven by some degree of fear, even though 10 of them have seen the risen Christ. What happens next is both a very, very personal engagement by Christ with his followers, and at the same time, a very extensive theological lesson. And that's the part I want to focus on first, is understanding the full implications of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Let's be clear. To the rest of the world, we believe that someone saw a purple elephant with yellow polka dots. That's what we believe. We believe that a deceased human being got up on the third day and walked out of a tomb and appeared to his followers. This is not possible in human terms, right? We believe something that's a little bit crazy unless it's true. If in fact that man got up out of that tomb and walked out alive after he was dead, this has some really profound implications for us personally, for us corporately, for the world in general, for all things. This is important. So let's just kind of step into that for a moment. The first thing Jesus says, peace be with you. Jesus came to bring peace. Your doubts, Thomas's doubts, our doubts, they are real. This is part of being human. We cannot see that which is spiritual, and that's a good thing, because that means that what is spiritual is not made of the stuff of this universe. It pre-exists the stuff of this universe. That's important. So, Christ came to bring peace to our souls. Our doubts are real. Thomas saw with his eyes what had happened to his Messiah. But Jesus is not afraid of Thomas's doubt or your doubt or my doubt or anything for that matter. He is unafraid. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who overcame death for you. And so we have this first realization that Christ came to bring peace in the face of our doubts. And our doubts are only overcome in God's timing. This goes back to the 7 days or 8 days later, right? Jesus, for whatever reason, waits a week to reappear. But when he does, he walks straight up to Mr. Adamant and says, "Peace." Here I am. What are you going to do now? Right? Like, Thomas does not have a choice at this point. He's not presented with an option of believing. He's actually presented with the risen Christ in physical form. And he, well, we'll get to that in a minute. His confession is very telling. Christ came to bring peace in the face of real doubt. In his own timing, God comes to us. I hope you have seen this in your own life. God somehow not showing up the way you thought he should, and then poof, there he is. And everything changes. He came to bring peace, and Christ died to bring forgiveness. He shows Thomas his wounds as if to say, these are real. Your doubts are real. These are even more real. Here they are. I did this for you. These wounds are as real as your doubts, and you can put your faith in what I've done. I gave up my life for you. So it is really, really important that we understand that Jesus' resurrection from the dead, this was not a ghost. This was not an apparition. This wasn't a vision and a dream. This was a physical body that was once deceased and laid in a tomb that had gotten up and walked out. And he now appears to his followers in physical form. They could touch him. They could literally touch him. This is incredibly important because only a sinless human life can atone for your sin. The only sacrifice that can wash you clean is the death of a sinless human being who goes to that death and points at you and says, her, him, all of these, I am dying for them. It must be a physical human being, a fully human being, can only be the one to pay that price. So, enormously important that Christ's resurrection is physical. It means that he died to bring forgiveness to us, to humans, to sinful humans. Only a sinless human can atone for our sin. Christ came to bring peace, he died to bring forgiveness, and he was raised to bring hope. His resurrection is real. Again, Thomas is not confronted with a choice. He's confronted with a reality. The physically risen Christ is before him. What is he going to do? In the same way that Thomas's doubts are real, Christ's wounds are real, and his resurrection is real. That is, it's physical. And that tells us something about who Jesus is. And Thomas confesses this when he says, my Lord and my God. This is enormously important. So, he's not saying you're some kind of God. He's saying you are the great I am. You are the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the redeemer of my soul, the lover of my soul. You are God Himself, because only God, only a being that is fully God, can get up and walk again. Resurrection is only by the power of God Himself. And Thomas confesses there the full implication of the resurrection. You are my Lord, and you are my God. You have done something that cannot be explained, and you have come to me in my pitiful anger and outburst and completely ignored what I deserved and appeared to me in a way that is undeniable. And Thomas is forever changed. The resurrection of Jesus is both physical and supernatural. It's only by the hand of God. But he was fully human and fully divine. It's the only way the equation works. So, we are to be, we see in this passage, honest with God. And we are to realize the full implications of the resurrection. And we are to find the full blessing of Christ. So, John, the author, sort of in verse 30, really, the shift is complete. But Jesus says to Thomas in verse 29, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed." And so the topic is shifting from the events of that encounter and Thomas's doubt to Christ's reassurance. The topic is shifting to that of faith and belief and what we are to do with this risen Christ. And so the blessing of the love of God through Jesus Christ, through His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension to the right hand of God. The blessing comes through faith. We are to have faith in His works, in what Christ did. He died for us. He came to earth for His people. What would compel God to do that? One word, love. Love, love. His heart is for our redemption, and He fully understood the only way to achieve that is to become fully human. But that sacrifice must also be infinite in its capacity. So, completely God, completely human, offering Himself out of love for our redemption. This is why Jesus came to earth. He went to the cross for you. So, put your finger here, see my hands, put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Jesus wasn't talking to the other 10. He was talking to one person. He returned on that eighth day for one person, for Thomas. This is really, really important. The faith, the redemption, the salvation that I'm talking about is deeply personal. And I've heard it put this way, like if you were the only person on this earth, if you were it, God would have done everything that He had to do for your redemption. It's that personal. He loves you, and He has chosen to redeem you, and that comes at the cost of His life. his human life. And it is for you. This is personal. He came to earth for a people. He went to the cross for you. You are to have faith in his works and what he did to accomplish your redemption, to give you forgiveness, grace, and life eternal. And you are to have faith in his word. This is where John turns next. Jesus says to Thomas, "You have faith because you saw me." That's not really faith. That's fact. Blessed are those who have faith. And then John turns the corner and says, here's how it works. You have faith by engaging God's word. He's written you a love letter. It is complex. God is complex. It is sometimes confusing. Life is confusing. That's okay. Keep reading. It is here that our faith is confirmed, reassured, grown, deepened. We're to have faith in Christ's works, that is what he did for us, and we are to have faith in his word. This is what John tells us. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By reading God's word, you get to know who Jesus is, what his heart is all about, what he wants for you. We are to not just read the Bible once, but to read it again and again and go back and go back and go back. And you would do this if you were in a long-distance relationship with someone you loved and they wrote you a letter. You don't just read it once. You go back and you read it again and again, and you soak it in and you try to get as much out of it as you can. And we are to return to God's word often to get to know Jesus, and there we find what the Bible calls, what John calls, life. This is the stuff of life. You have been given a Savior who did not stop at dying for you. He came back from the dead to show you that this is about life, not death. It is about hope, not fear. It is about faith, not doubt. This is the stuff of life. Will you pray with me? God, our loving Father, we marvel at your word, at the ways in which you uncover the very nature of who we are and how we live. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, for moving through him to bring us to a place of redemption and hope. Lord, that you did not stop at the grave, but rather you rose again and came back to us to assure us that our faith is not in vain, that we are a people called to life. We thank you for this gift, for your love, for all the blessings of being a part of your family. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone with solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
So my name is Mark, and I'm one of the elders here at Hope. And this is our time of offering. When we do that here at Hope, it may be a little bit different if you're new with us than what you've seen in some churches. Financial giving is one component of offering or offertory. There are opportunities to give to our church. There's a bucket in the back. There's also instructions in the bulletin with a QR code that will bring you to our website if you feel led to give. That is one component. We do not, by intention, pass a plate because we believe that your giving in this way is a private matter between you and God and what God puts on your heart to do. But the giving that you do provide, it does help the church in terms of allowing this to run, taking care of the cost of the facilities and the people that run the church. And there are also many missions that we participate in worldwide, to include Cuba and other parts of the world. Anyway, when we talk about offering, however, it's really a bigger picture than just financial giving. It's more about what is God leading you to do based in response to what he has done for you. So God has done many things for us, giving of his son who died on the cross for our sins. And that is, you know, not on our own doing or merit, but completely God's gift. And so our response is an offering, if you will. Our time, energy, talents, and that, again, is also private. But this is a time of reflection to think about these things. We also use this time to talk about the sermon, just reflect on what was God talking about to you. And it's different for each person. I have always enjoyed the story of Thomas. And one thing that is interesting to me that I learned that is not in the Bible about Thomas, but history says that he went to a certain place. Most of the disciples scattered and brought the good news of Jesus to those around, not in the entire world, but certain places. So does anybody know where Thomas went, where history says that he went? He probably knows. Does anybody know? Eastern Europe? I don't know that he went there. I will say, does anybody else want to make a guess?
Nigeria.
India. I did not know this, but about 15 years ago, I ran into an Indian from India who had come to the United States that I got to work with, and I was surprised that he said he was Christian. And I said, wow, you're from India and you are a Christian. How did that happen? And then he told me, well, St. Thomas went to India, the southern tip, and brought the good news of Jesus to that group of people. And there is a remnant of Christianity there because of St. Thomas. And he is one of those people. So I thought that was kind of cool. So why is that important? I think it's important because this story about faith and Thomas having doubts and Jesus coming to him in the way that he did. He gave I hadn't realized he waited a week, 8 days, to come back and kind of let Thomas kind of sit in that doubt, which I think speaks to us too. So there's some value in the struggle of doubt and the working out of faith. And some of us wait longer than eight days and don't get as good of a sign as Thomas got. So I have read that story. And I said, well, that's really nice that Thomas got to actually see the Lord and touch him to overcome that doubt. Why can't I have that kind of a sign? God speaks to us in different ways. And I think probably it has to do, one reason it may be as stark a contrast with Thomas in that he got such a clear sign, it was because of what he had to do. And all the disciples got a very strong sign because they were called to go and spread the word. And most of them died, right? Thomas was killed, we think. Most of all the other disciples were killed what they were doing. And so they needed to have a strong faith in order to do that important work. We don't have that same calling, probably, mostly. But we're called to have faith. But I think that's why there is such a difference between Thomas and what we have. Some of you may have a story just like that. I will say that the fact that the disciples were so convicted is a piece of evidence that helps me with my faith. Like, they were so convicted based on what they saw in what we've been reading about that they shared at the expense of their own lives to spread the good word of Jesus and what he had done. And that is a piece of evidence that I think is that we can rely on. Why we're here is another piece. The fact that we're here on all the creation around us. But at any rate, your own personal journey is going to look different from Thomas. Your own calling of what you are to do and how God is calling you in his life is going to look different from Thomas. It's going to look different from me, and it's very personal. So use this time just to reflect on, what is God calling you to do? What are the faith anchors that are in your life that you can call upon and rely upon that will lead you and inspire you to take those steps of offering towards him. Let's spend a moment in just silent prayer as the music plays. Think about these things. What is God calling you to do in offering to him based on what he has done for you? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Thomas and how you reached out to him and met him at his point of need in his faith journey. And Lord, we know that this is what you do with us as well in a very different way. But help us to take inspiration from Thomas's story and then what he chose to do based on your calling. Help us to follow you in a similar way according to the calling that you have for each of us as we offer ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand and sing one last song with us? And I promise I'll start it right.
Sing aloud
Praise him, all you saints. How wondrous is his grace. He is our refuge. I know my days are in your hands. Though I draw near to dust, you are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. So lift up your voice and sing aloud. And praise him, all you saints. How wondrous is his grace. He is our refuge.
Nadie quiere eso. Your God, who came to bring peace, who died to bring forgiveness, who rose to give you hope, is a God of blessing. And he wants you to go forth from this place with his blessing over you, to give shape to who you are, to how you live. Will you open your hearts, receive the blessing of our Lord today, and take it with you into your week ahead. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in his peace. Congregational meeting will begin in about 15 minutes. So if you're sticking around for that, say hi to some folks and then come back in and we'll get started. 10 to 15 minutes.